Jay quit. Okay.
I finally have stopped.
You want to talk about the nurse?
Oh, sorry.
All right, the House Committee on Education will come to order. Colleagues, welcome. I hope everybody had a good weekend. Welcome to the House Committee on Education. If you are here and you have a cell phone, please turn it off. Not to silent, but all the way to off. We have a series of bills to move today. Some of them are going to different places than we had previously anticipated, and we have the letters to that effect.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Which one is that?
Oh,
okay. But not this one. Okay. Can you make sure you look at that one?
I can't guarantee it.
Can you tell them a minute? Thank you. Okay, so we are getting fiscal statements as we speak, and it looks like we are waiting for just a couple more, and if they come, we will not have to meet tomorrow, which will make you all very sad.
Well, since I'm hovering on the brink again.
We can't have that.
I know.
Okay, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3246. Colleagues, House Bill 3246 is the bill that the Speaker brought to us that gives certain districts extensions of the exemption from requirements regarding the health benefit plans offered by the Oregon Educator Benefit Board. There is still more work that needs to be done, so I have a letter from the Speaker to move this bill to rules.
We have time.
You have talked. Good. I'm glad to hear that. So I would entertain, and we do have all, it's a documented bill. It has all of its appropriate documents. And I would entertain a motion to move this to rules without recommendation.
Which one is this?
This is 3246.
Yes, Madam Chair, I move that House Bill 3246 be referred to the Committee on Rules.
Without recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Representative Dimbro moves that House Bill 3246 be moved to rules without recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Nope. Seeing no objection, House Bill 3246 is moved to rules. I would now open a work session on House Bill 2693. Colleagues, House Bill 2693 is the school nursing bill. Representative Kotek came back with, trying to find my packet here, with amendments as per our request, and you will find those in the dash fours. 2693. The dash four amendments are here. We do not have the fiscal on this bill. And you'll remember the amendments address the concerns about the flexibility for local school districts to be able to work with an ESD or to contract with a hospital employee. And it's my understanding that that is what these accomplish. Representative Springer.
Madam Chair, I see there's two amendments here, dash threes and dash fours. I'm wondering if Kevin can give us a brief summary on maybe what the difference is.
Yeah, Madam Chair, members of the committee, before you, the dash threes and dash fours, you will note on page two of the dash three, there is a new paragraph that has been inserted that differs from the dash two, that states that a school district may satisfy the requirements of section two, specifically that there be one registered nurse or school nurse for every 125 medically fragile student, or one registered nurse or school nurse for each nursing dependent student. Now, I've paraphrased those just to move forward, but what it does provide is that the school district may satisfy these requirements by using the most cost-effective means available. The dash four stops right there. The dash three uses the same verbiage but says which may include using resources available through an education service district. So essentially the difference between the dash three and the dash four is that final clause which may include using resources available through an education service district.
And I can add a little bit of context to that. I had a discussion with Representative Kotek about the dash three and the concern that I had. Representative Springer, I remember that you specifically raised the issue of the ability to contract with a hospital, and I was concerned that because it was specific to to an education service district that might be limiting, even though the intent of the language was to be broad. So she put in the dash four with the idea that that language, using the most cost-effective means available, would be inclusive of an ESD or a hospital, but by not specifying, it wouldn't be limiting.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there further discussion on the dash four amendment? Is there a motion on the dash four amendments?
Madam Chair, I move the dash four amendments to House Bill. To House Bill 2693, dated April 24th, 2009.
So Representative Denbrough moves the dash four amendments to House Bill 2693. Is there any discussion?
Do we have a fiscal on the bill?
We have a fiscal on the dash three. We do not have a fiscal on the dash four.
But it would have to be cheaper.
And the dash three and the dash four are identical, except for that the specific language referencing the ESD. So we could conclude, probably, that the fiscal for the dash four would be very similar to that of the dash three.
Madam Chair, I just don't have a copy of the fiscal.
Or any of the dashes.
Any of the dashes.
I have this one for the dash three amendment, and it ends with a more complete fiscal analysis on the bill will be prepared as the measure is considered at Ways and Means.
Madam Chair.
Representative Van Orman.
Thank you. Would it be safe to assume that this cost is one of those that's going to be passed on to the districts?
Representative Van Orman, my understanding is that the costs are going to be considered at the Ways and Means. It has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means on it.
But essentially, it would not be an expenditure by the state. It would be simply transferred to the districts. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Representative Huffman.
A follow-up. I was thinking we were talking the other day, and this was more along the lines of a recommendation and not a mandate.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The language again, if you remember the discussion we had when Representative Kotek was with us the other day, the language in the bill doesn't talk about mandating that these ratios are fulfilled. It has language like school districts are encouraged to provide.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there further discussion on the dash four amendment? Any further discussion on the dash four amendment? Is there any objection to the dash four amendment? Seeing none, the motion passes and the dash four amendment is adopted. Representative Springer.
Yes, I have a motion. Madam Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2693 as amended without the fiscal impact statement being available for review.
Representative Springer moves that the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2693 as amended by the dash four amendments without the fiscal impact settlement statement being available for review. And this is a non-debatable motion. Is there any objection to the motion? No. Motion carries and the rules have been suspended. Is there a motion on the bill?
Madam Chair, I move that House Bill 2693 as amended be sent to the Ways and Means Committee by prior reference with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Denbrough moves that House Bill 2693, as amended, be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation and be referred to Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Representative Parker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The bit of the conversation that we just had that says that these are suggestions, etc., carries a lot of weight with me. And I'm quickly reading everything I have about this, and I'm seeing things like requires each district to ensure that the district has. These are guidelines, suggestions, not requirements, correct?
Representative Parker, in the second part of the bill where it's new information, that is suggested, And the first part of the bill is it relates to medically involved and medically fragile students.
Mm-hmm.
The testimony that we had at our last hearing on this was about how these are things that are already basically required under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, that, that appropriate medical personnel be available consistent with an IEP.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. At the risk of sounding like I'm beating a dead horse, just kind of piggybacking on what Representative Parker was just saying, is that as I read the bill, and certainly it's the section that, that still applies, it's in the dash fours, it certainly feels and sounds like a mandate to me, and I realize that there might be some IDEA pieces in there too, but I have serious reservations as we look at sending this on to the districts, what this is practically going to mean to them that may be different than what they're currently doing.
Would it be helpful for the committee if we stood at ease for a couple of minutes and got Representative Kotek down here to go back through the...
It would make me more comfortable.
All right. Cool. So we are going to stand at ease, and we will find the good representative. So we are... Representative Nimbro?
I was just going to say, or we can move on to something else while we're getting...
We're in the middle of a motion, so we can't. So we are at ease. Welcome back. Representative Kotek, thanks for joining us. It's always good to have you in the Education Committee.
Oh, always fun to be back. Tina Kotek, State Representative, House District 44. And we're talking about one of my favorite bills today, 2693, school nurses. And we're reviewing the dash fours is what I've heard. So I'm at your disposal.
Representative Parker.
Recognize
before you wave.
I'm a little bit concerned about what... This has no fiscal attached to it at all, and I'm concerned that this is what we're doing is pushing some charges down to the school districts and that we're going to shift some more money into some of the kids as defined in here at expense of other aspects of what these schools all have to deliver. We've heard some discussion about what's required, what's encouraged. If you could help me out here, I'd appreciate it. And I think I'm not alone in this regard.
Be happy to. Madam Chair, Representative Harker, thank you for the question. But before I answer that, do we have the fiscal back?
Representative Kotek, we do not have a fiscal on the dash four. We do have a fiscal on the dash three. And we're actually mid-motion right now. We have a motion we've adopted a motion to suspend the rules and send it to Ways and Means without the fiscal.
Wonderful. Thank you. To your question, there's two parts of this bill. The first part talks about ensuring access to nursing services for, at the very beginning, the nursing dependent students and the medically fragile students. It is my understanding that we need to be providing these services now because of federal law around health support plans for children with disabilities. So when we drafted this bill, there was a lot of discussion about requiring schools to be providing a certain ratio of care for a variety of different student populations. But we felt that given existing resources, what schools are required to do now, and essentially what's happening in the schools now for nursing dependent and medically fragile students, that the ratios that you see here, while it says required, they're happening now to the best of my knowledge. When you get to the second half, near the end, where we talk about the general student population reaching a certain ratio by 2020, that is all we were specific and made encouraged. I'm looking for the actual language. Are encouraged to provide. That is not a requirement. That is, to the best of the abilities, try to reach those ratios with the understanding that there will be needed resources and extra effort to get there, but it's not required in that second half of the bill. It's only encouraged. I hope that answers your question.
That helps. Thank you.
Are there further questions for Representative Kotek? No? If she goes away, she might not come back. All right. Thank you very much. We go to great efforts to get your attention.
Well, I just really appreciate your time with this bill. This is really important, and I'm hoping we'll have a good conversation in Ways and Means about it. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Mm-hmm. Is there any further discussion about this bill? Seeing none, Debbie. Oh, Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess just to let you know what some of my thinking is here, I do see the beginning as the first part of the bill as a mandate, and then there are these recommendations that are encouraged, but the bridge for those two are Section 5 for the purpose of fulfilling the recommendations of the registered nurses and school nurses in a school district as described in Section 2, 3, and 4B of this 2009 Act as amended by Section 4 of this 2009 Act. School districts are encouraged to, and that's the bridge, I believe, that I'm really putting a lot of weight on, which is there are these encouragements at the end, but their intent is to move towards the mandate in the beginning.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Seeing none. Debbie, would you please call the roll?
Representative Parker?
Aye.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative Trump?
Aye.
Representative Maurer?
Aye.
Representative Baldwin?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Van Orman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Dimbrough?
Aye.
Chair Gilson?
Aye. Having received the required votes, the bill is passed out of the committee and on to Ways and Means. And I would open up a work session on House Bill 3116. If you remember, House Bill 3116 is the bill that allowed, we talked about this bill last week. It had a subsequent referral to revenue. We learned it did not have a revenue impact statement, so we held it to today so we could send it directly to the floor. So I would accept a motion, and we do have the letter from the speaker to send it to the floor.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3116 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Revenue be rescinded.
So Representative Dimbrough moves that House Bill 3116 be moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the prior referral to revenue be rescinded. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. And the bill will move to the floor, and Representative Buckley will carry this bill. So now I would open a work session on House Bill 3093. Colleagues, House Bill 3093 is the bill that directs the Joint Boards of Ed to report to the Legislative Assembly on the development of an applied baccalaureate degree program. The bill did not previously have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means, but the sponsor of the bill indicates that he has learned that there would be a general fund impact, so we do have a letter from the Speaker allowing us to send it to Ways and Means with recommendation, but so that it can be considered with other budget priorities there. And I believe... Oh, and we now do have the fiscals. Is that what just came?
No,
that's something else. Oh, it's in the packet. Mm-hmm. And did we adopt the dash 3 amendment last time, or do we need to do that today?
Madam Chair, I believe we simply carried it over, so I think we need to adopt either the dash 3, dash 4, whatever the committee's pleasure.
All right. So there is a dash 3 amendment to this bill that I understand from Representative Edwards was worked out with all of the parties involved, and it's in your packet.
Madam Chair, I move adoption of the dash 3 amendment to House Bill 3093, dated April 9th, 2009.
Representative Dimbrough moves the dash 3 amendments to House Bill 3093, dated 4-9-2009. Is there any discussion of the amendments? Has everybody found the amendment?
I have the amendment. I'm trying to sort it out.
All right. Shall I give everybody a minute to... Kevin, what is the desire of the sponsor in terms of the dash 3 and the dash 4?
It was my understanding that both the sponsor requested both the dash 3 and dash 4 amendments be adopted. That's my understanding.
Okay. So is there any further discussion on the dash 3 amendment? Is there any objection to the dash 3 amendment? No, seeing none, the amendment is adopted. Could I please have a motion on the dash 4 amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, I move to adopt the dash 4 amendment dated 4-17-09.
Representative Dimbrough moves to adopt the dash 4 amendment dated 4-17-09 to House Bill 3093. Is there any discussion of the dash 4?
Members of the committee, the dash 4, and I apologize not getting the dash 3, is essentially, if you look in subparagraph 3, the Joint Boards of Education plans must include, and there's a series of elements. What the dash 4 amendment does is it provides an additional element, I believe that would be F, and it's a recommendation as to whether community colleges should be allowed to offer applied baccalaureate. So again, that's an additional requirement that's added onto the plan. So.
Is there any discussion of the dash 4? Any objection to the dash 4s? Seeing none, the dash 4s are adopted. Representative Dimbrough?
Yes. Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3093 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
And that it be referred?
And that it be referred to the Ways and Means Committee.
So Representative Dimbrough moves House Bill 3093 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and to the Committee on Ways and Means. So any further discussion? Representative Parker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to raise the same question that I did before, is this a bachelor's degree? And I think that my recollection is I was told this is not a bachelor's degree, but the language in the initial bill, which I do not believe is changed by either the dash 3 or the dash 4, does call it a bachelor's degree.
Representative Rivlin.
I think that's true. It's called a something baccalaureate.
Yeah.
Bachelor's degree. It has a different name. And I think that's what this bill does, is it allows the state board and the others to kind of figure out what it really means to be and what the requirements are. So.
It says applied baccalaureate, and I think it's called a bachelor's degree elsewhere.
would it be helpful to get Representative Edwards?
I don't want to drag everyone in here on everything that's bothering me, but I've said from the beginning that I do not consider this to be a bachelor's degree. And I've been told it's not the intention to dumb down the requirements for a bachelor's degree.
Okay.
But I'm having a hard time seeing that.
I think he would be happy to come, and he wouldn't feel dragged down. So why don't we stand at ease and get Representative Edwards to come visit us?
Well, hold off just a moment, if you will, because I don't want to drag him down here. Section 1, applied baccalaureate degree means a bachelor's degree.
I wonder if there are other people in the audience that can speak to this.
I think the format today for today was that we were calling out members on their on their bills.
I concur with his reading of it, and I'm not sure that the good representative is going to change the reading of the
bill. That's what I think.
Okay.
So it's about the language of the bill, not what Representative Edwards thinks.
Okay. Yep.
So I think what I can do is agree to, if we call the vote on this, as we have, I can agree to vote yes on this, reserving my right to vote no on it on the floor, because I remain to be convinced about this.
That sounds like a reasonable solution.
Always looking to be reasonable.
Representative Springer.
No, you're not.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
D-H-A.
And certainly... this is a bill that we can make these concerns known as it goes over to the Senate, and maybe some language issues be looked at there.
Okay.
You didn't raise your notes.
Or raise your notes.
Is there a further discussion on this bill? Anyone else?
I think there's...
Representative Van Orman.
Madam Chair, I'm thinking the language and the definition points out that it is different from a bachelor's.
Okay.
As I said, I'll be okay voting. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
All right. All right, Debbie, would you please call the roll on this bill?
Representative Parker?
Aye.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative Kopp?
Aye.
Representative Maurer?
Aye.
Representative Roblin?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Van Orman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Denver?
Aye.
Having received the required votes, the bill passes on to Ways and Means. And I'm closing the work session on House Bill 3093. And I'll open our work session on House Bill 2586. Colleagues, House Bill 2586, we were about to pass out last week. This was the school library bill, and we were going to have the referral to Ways and Means rescinded. However, that referral was not rescinded, so I would accept a motion to send the bill with recommendation to Ways and Means as originally suggested to us.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2586 to the floor with a due pass recommendation with a prior reference to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Dimbro moves House Bill 2586 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Representative Thatcher?
You were looking right at me when you said that. You're expecting me to say something. Well, you know, I think it's a great idea, but since we can't rescind it, that means it's going to be expensive to the agency, to the Department of Education, right? Is that it's going to have some expense that exceeds a certain level?
No, we already had, the reason we asked to have it rescinded was we had the fiscal impact statement come back, and it was a minimal fiscal impact statement. However, they're wanting to pick these up that are saying minimal so that we're not flooding the agencies with lots of things that are minimal. Lots of minimal things add up to
requiring them to
unminimal.
Be the sponge. Is that
correct?
Right. Okay.
Correct.
All right.
Correct.
That's what I was concerned about because I didn't see that. So I'm getting part in my computer and part at the dais, and I'm really trying to correlate the two. So I was just
wanting to clarify that. Yes. I appreciate it. Yes.
Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just, I guess, as a, I don't know if it's a point of clarification or a point for the record, I had concerns with this bill because of the flavor of a mandate that it had. School districts already do these reports. This is an added element. If school districts want to apply for the library grants, and I don't know that there'll be funding for that or not, but I've got to say I've had my librarians tell me they want this. So coming from the district, they want this quasi-mandate, if you will. So for that reason, I'll be supporting it.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Debbie, would you please call the roll?
Representative Parker?
Aye.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative Hall? Aye. Representative Nauer? Aye. Representative Roblin? Aye. Representative Thatcher? Yes. Representative Van Orman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Denbrough?
Aye.
Chair Gilzer?
Aye.
So House Bill 2586 receiving the required votes is moving on to Ways and Means. Close the work session on House Bill 2586. And I will open a work session on... Did we just get the fiscal for 2108? Did I imagine that?
Yes.
So opening a work session on House Bill 2108. Kevin, can you remind us about what this bill did and what the amendments do?
In just a second, yes.
Good question.
Members of the committee, before you is House Bill 2108. You were just handed the fiscal statement a few moments ago. There is a dash 3 amendment which has been submitted by the Department of Education. Essentially what the bill does is, in kind of global terms, a couple of things. First of all, it provides for career schools that want to confer an academic degree, there are certain requirements that must be made. It also requires that additional items are not covered with this, or different programs, for instance, instruction or training offered for a limited number of hours, schools the superintendent determines are adequately regulated by other means, schools offering only review instruction, for instance, like someone taking a professional examination, MCAT, LSAT for bar, medical school, things of that nature. It also provides some licensing requirements when it comes to career schools, some additional ones, including, perhaps most pointedly, the requirements of fingerprinting certain members of faculty who come on board, especially if they have access to those younger than 18. This does go into effect with applications and issuances that are effective on the date of the act. I do note that Mr. Allen from the Department of Education is here to give a brief primer if the committee so desires with respect to the dash 3 amendments.
Does the committee need that primer on the dash 3s?
I would appreciate it.
All right.
That.
Morgan, please.
Thank you, Chair Gelson, members of the committee. For the record, Morgan Allen with Department of Education, and Kevin did a pretty good job of summarizing it, so I'll just add a couple things to this. If you remember, we heard this bill back in March. There was no opposition to the concepts of the bill, but we had some concerns from the Northwest Career Colleges Federation about some of the language in the bill, so we've worked with them and we've come up with a consensus amendment. Essentially, the bill does two things. If you remember, Mr. Alan Contreras from the Office of Degree Authorization came up and talked about this as well, too. As private career schools are transitioning to offer AAs or associate's degrees or other types of, some of them even offer BAs, then they become regulated by Mr. Contreras' office. But there's sort of this limbo period as they're being approved by his office of sort of who is still in charge of overseeing them. This bill clarifies that until all of their programs are approved by the Office of Degree Authorization, that we still sort of oversee them, and that protects students in case, you know, something bad were to happen as far as tuition monies, or if they're sort of a fly-by-night operator, it would give those students access to the tuition protection fund. The second thing that the bill did was give us more flexibility to, in the licensing process, to look at the actions of some of these operators in other schools or even in Oregon before they open. And most importantly, what we wanted to do was add a fingerprint criminal background check to schools that enroll minor students. For example, some of the schools of cosmetology have students younger than the age of 18, so this bill would require that the owners, operators, instructors, and other agents of the schools would be subject to a criminal background record, or a criminal full FBI fingerprint background check. The one hang-up was the way we originally drafted the bill, it would require them to be fingerprinted every year, which was not our intention. So working with the Northwest Career Colleges Federation and some of the other private school folks, it would be only on when you're first hired or you first open your school, and then they actually asked if we would do it every 3 years, which is a pretty high standard, so those folks would get fingerprinted every 3 years that are at ongoing private career schools. And then there was some other language in there around tuition that that the Career Colleges Federation objected to, so we removed that, and I feel we have a consensus amendment that both the department and the schools and businesses support, so we'd appreciate if we could move it on to the Senate.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for Morgan?
Just a comment. Thank you for working with them. That's what I needed to hear, that there was some consensus. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2108 to the floor.
I need to amend it first.
Oh, I'm sorry. I move that we adopt the -3 amendments to House Bill 2108, dated
4-23-09.
Thank you.
Representative Dembrough moves the -3 amendments to House Bill 2108, dated 4-23-09. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection to the -3 amendments? Seeing none, the amendments are adopted. Representative Dembrough.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2108 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Dembrough moves House Bill 2108 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative Van Orman.
Thank you, Chair Tomei. I'm in the morning. Chair Gelser. I do want to make a comment. I don't know how many committee meetings we've had where we've had fingerprinting. So I would like to recommend at some point in time we just all get fingerprinted and have a state identity card. Solve our problem.
You can put it right next to your ACLU card in your wallet.
Yes, ma'am.
The fingerprints do seem to be coming up.
Yes,
a lot. Data systems, databases.
They are.
Any further discussion?
I just knew Andrea would be through the door by now, but not so.
Wait for it. Okay. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Debbie, would you please call the roll?
Representative Parker?
Yes.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative Comp?
Aye.
Representative Mauer?
Aye.
Representative Holman?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Van Orman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Dimbrough? Aye. Having received the required vote, House Bill 2108 goes to the floor. Representative Parker, would you carry this bill?
Sure.
Thanks. Close the work session on House Bill 2108. Open a work session on House Bill 2507. And the fiscal impact statement for 2507 was just delivered to us a moment ago. House Bill 2507 has its amendments in the packet. This is the bill that I brought to you the other week that had to do with the extended diploma and added the language about that issue that we learned about while during our many discussions about the Oregon School for the Blind, about the elimination of transition activities for students who receive a diploma. And this was, so that's the language that's in the amendment to allow them to continue to receive those services. And the bill has a fiscal that makes it good to go to the floor. Representative Dimbrough.
Do we need to adopt the -1?
Yes, we need to adopt the -1.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt the -1 amendments to House Bill 2507, dated 4-21-09.
Representative Dimbrough moves to adopt the -1 amendments to House Bill 2507, dated 4-21-09. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, they're adopted. Representative Dimbro.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2507 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Dimbro moves House Bill 2507 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Debbie, would you please call the roll?
Representative Harper?
Aye.
Representative
Hussman?
Aye.
Representative
Cohn? Aye.
Representative Mauer?
Aye.
Representative Roland?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Van Orman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
Chair Gelder?
Aye. Having received the required votes, the bill is headed to the floor, and I will carry this bill. Close the work session on House Bill 2507. And we already did 3116, right?
Yes.
So I'll open a work session on House Bill 3117.
Madam Chair.
Representative Huffman, was that your voice?
Yes, it was.
Representative Huffman.
Would this be an appropriate time to announce that I would like to propose Dash 4 amendments on HB 3117?
It would be an appropriate time to announce that. Are you...
I would like to do that.
Would you like to make that motion?
Would you like for me to explain what they are at this time?
What if you make the motion, and then in the discussion, you can describe what they are? Or perhaps, before you make the motion, we can have Kevin describe the bill, the Dash 3, and the Dash 4, and then I will immediately recognize you so that you can move the Dash 4s.
Thank you, Madam.
Does that work?
Works for me.
All right. Great.
Members of the committee, before you are the Dash 3 amendments, and there's also a Dash 4 amendment. Both of these amendments would substantially revise the entire bill. You will recall that this is the adverse impact measure. I think that Representative Huffman is trying to be cruel to me because I stumbled so horribly over this the last time I tried to explain it. Essentially, this provides at least 30 days before a community college seeks approval to offer a new career pathway certificate of completion program. We had some testimony about those kind of programs. That the governing board of the community college needs to provide an intent notice to the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development, CCWD. Once that's done, the CCWD will then go out and provide the notice to any private institution that may be affected by this particular plan. If there is an objection, it requires that the program authority do the following, that within 3 business days after the last day a private institution provides objection, they need to take steps to basically postpone moving forward with this new program, and it provides a mechanism for that affected program. Again, probably the traditional context is going to be like a career school. Gives them an opportunity to basically enter into a discussion of sorts, and I think the language, at least the initial bill, was mediate, to try to reach an agreement about the impact. If that is not an agreement is reached, then they can move forward. If it's not, then a period, I believe it's 15 business days afterwards, they can go ahead and move forward with, that being the community college, can move forward with the program. There is a definition of program and what that means specifically set out. And again, as I'm understanding, it's less than a full associate's degree. And this also does include the coursework necessary for certification or licensure under the cosmetic profession statutes. That's the Dash 4 element. So the Dash 3 and Dash 4 are identical, but for the cosmetology aspect, which is included in the Dash 4, but not in the Dash 3.
Thank you.
Was that a little clearer this time, maybe?
Won't have to slap you today, Kev.
Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did some investigation. The reason why I submitted the Dash 4s is because upon investigation, there was a request for taking cosmetology out. Normally, I'm not that big of a proponent on opt-outs. However, in this case, cosmetology is such an insignificant part of the scheme of things with community colleges. There is only one cosmetology program at one community college, and that's at Mount Hood Community College. And for that reason, I thought it was a very reasonable request to do the Dash 4s and allow cosmetology as an opt-out. There we go.
Great. Thank you.
I was looking for a climactic ending there, but it wasn't coming.
I think a really good climactic end would be, Madam Chair, I move the -4 amendments.
Madam Chair, I move the -4 amendments.
That was really good.
Were they did
like that? Right off the...
So Representative Huffman moves the -4 amendments to House Bill 3117. Is there any discussion? Representative Dimbro.
Madam Chair, I'm going to urge the members of the committee to support the -3 amendments and not the -4 amendments. As Kevin explained, the two are identical in nearly all respects. What this bill does is it looks at existing community college programs, associate degree programs that have been pre-approved, that have gone through the adverse impact process, and it allows them to offer stop-off points within that associate's degree so that a person can get a certificate of completion while continuing on to the next level up to completion of that associate's degree. It's a great bill. It was the process of a lot of negotiation between the Community College Association and representatives of the Career School Association. And this language was worked out entirely in agreement with those two groups. The additional carve out of cosmetology happened outside that process, and I really think that we should not go down the road of carving out particular programs, because it's just not fair to the other programs, frankly. I'll leave it at that. If any of my colleagues have any questions about this, I'd be happy to answer them. But again, I would urge you to not to vote no on the -4 amendments.
Is there further discussion? Representative Van Orman.
I have a question for Representative Dimbro. The legislation is about the adverse impact, and the concept behind adverse impact is to prevent colleges making decisions of coursework that might impact private institutions. So consequently, what is the advantage of the cosmetology piece to be taken out when we're talking about working on adverse impact in this bill? Am I making myself clear? Probably not. I'm really fuzzy.
Well, if what you're asking is what is unique about why should cosmetology be taken out?
Well, what is the advantage? If they're outside of the process of adverse impact, they're out there on their own now, and they can still, does that prevent competition then?
If I can answer that, I believe that this is generated by a fear of competition on the part of the cosmetology schools. However, I would say, again, this is an existing program that has been in place in cosmetology at Mount Hood. It's been there for more than 30 years. It's really difficult to see any substantial impact of a career pathways in cosmetology having on that industry.
Is there further discussion of the -4s? Representative Kamp.
Chair, I'm in the same spot as Representative Van Orman, because I'm trying to get my hands around the impact. Is there impact to the current School of Cosmetology in Salem, Oregon? Is there an impact on the Mount Hood campus? What happens if we say no to the -4s for schools of cosmetology? I just need more information.
Representative Dimbro, Representative Huffman?
Anybody?
Representative Roblin?
I could try, because I've thought about this a lot. And then
the other two
can correct me if I'm wrong. If we passed the threes, there would not be an exception for cosmetology. And therefore, if they chose to have a fingernail, you know, pedicures and all that kind of stuff, separate license, certificate, that this person is certified in that. They could go ahead with the threes and just do that without having to do an impact statement. If the fours pass, they would have to take that sub-program of already existing deals and go out in the community and negotiate whether there is an impact, whether there would be an adverse impact. And if there were an adverse impact, they wouldn't be able to offer that program. If they had another one on any little sub-branch, and in cosmetology, as in a lot of these others, there are different expertises you could have to go out and do it. With the fours, any of those would have to go through a regular adverse impact with all the other private companies that are out there. With the threes, as all the other groups have agreed, if they've already had a program, it's been going, but it's a four-year program, they could go and have their sub-programs and make a certificate for that without having to go through that process.
Representative
Dimbro? Yes, and Madam Chair, I think
Thank you. Manicure, pedicure.
The basic premise, I think, of the trade school, the basic premise of adverse impact is that the community colleges are in an unfair position because they receive state subsidy for their courses, so therefore can underprice the private career schools. I'll say for the record, I disagree with that basic premise. I think that the community colleges are consistent with the basic, the essential principles that we have of public education, and are fulfilling that mission for low-income Oregonians. But having said that, I was informed by the representatives of the Cosmetology Association that their programs are offered for roughly the same cost as the community colleges, and in many cases less, actually. So it's really hard for me to see how passage of this would have any adverse impact on them. I think that there's absolutely no reason to carve out that particular sector from this bill.
Thank you. Is there further? Representative Interman.
Thank you. That's the point I was trying to make, is that by being in this adverse impact process, they are probably, in my view, I thought they were more protected than being outside of the process. I'm obviously got really fuzzy thinking, and I'm not communicating well today. But it just seemed to me that by pulling out, it's a disadvantage to them as opposed to staying in. This is the point I'm trying to make.
Representative
Kopp.
Thanks, Madam Chair, and the committee's input on this bill. What I want to make a comment is that the people that supported this bill did the Dash 3s, negotiated an agreement in very good faith. And I'm all about good faith and the respect of the agreements that we make when we're working through a process. We need to stand by those. And sometimes it comes around in different ways, and we wish that maybe we would have done something different. But I am going to be supporting the Dash 3s because I do support the concept of negotiating a bill and the best passage possible at the time. So,
thank you, Representative Kopp. Any further discussion? All right. Representative Huffman.
Just one closing thought. I think for all of the reasons that Representative Dimbro said, I would like to still push the Dash 4s because I think it's a de minimis effect on the entire system since it's one program at one college.
Thank you. Representative.
I'll be at a great college.
Debbie, would you please call the roll on the Dash 4 amendments, please? So this is a vote on whether to adopt the Dash 4 amendments.
Representative Parker?
No.
Representative Huffman?
Yes.
Representative Kopp?
No.
Representative Maurer?
Aye.
Representative Roblin?
No.
Representative Thatcher?
Yes.
Representative Van Orman?
No.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Dimbro?
No.
And Chair Gelzer?
No. So having not received the required majority, the motion does not pass. Representative Dimbro.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the dash 3 amendments to House Bill 3117, dated 4/17/09.
Representative Dimbro moves the dash 3 amendments to House Bill 3117, 4/17/09. Is there any discussion? Representative Thatcher.
It looks like, to me, it still contains a provision that says that essentially the program will get approval if one of two conditions exist, and one is they come to an agreement, or two, they don't come to an agreement within a certain period of time. Am I reading that correctly? Okay. That seems a little...
Representative Maurer.
Thanks, Madam Chair. And that's why I'm opposed to the bill. I mean, I agree with the ability for community colleges to go through a process and then provide a certificate. But, I mean, to me, you talk about good faith negotiation. There's no reason for a community college to have a good faith negotiation. All they do is wait 15 days and it's going to get approved anyway. So I just am not supportive of the bill.
Thank you. Is there further discussion on the dash 3 amendments? Representative Dimbro?
Well, not on the dash 3.
Any further? Representative Harker?
Well, actually, this issue that's been raised exists in the bill itself and in the amendments. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll hold off.
All right. Great. Debbie, would you please call the roll?
Representative Harker?
Aye.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative Comp?
Aye.
Representative Maurer?
Aye.
Representative Roblin?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Van Orman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Dimbro?
Aye.
Chair Gelzer?
Aye. Having received the required votes, the amendment is adopted. Representative Dimbro.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move House Bill 3117 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Dimbro moves House Bill 3117 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative Harker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the issue that was just raised by Representative Thatcher and corroborated by others is part of this original bill. And you've already told us, Representative Dimbro, that there's been a good deal of discussion and back and forth and balances struck, et cetera. This did come up in those conversations?
Madam Chair, it did. And I just remind you that in its original form, and actually this was a form, I believe, before you saw the bill. No, actually that's not true. When it was originally introduced, it was a much more expansive program that would that really called into question adverse impact in all respects. And the decision was that you know, what we could agree on was that for these programs, which have already gone through the adverse impact process, remember, as degree programs, those would be treated separately as part of the career pathway program. These are pre-existing approvals, and now we're just allowing students to get recognition for each step of the process as they're moving through these pre-approved programs. And, you know, that's why we're dealing with, to answer your question, Representative Thatcher, because these programs have been pre-approved, then the way in which they're being segmented, that will be discussed with the potentially affected colleges and see if some sort of coordination can be worked out, et cetera, but not have to go through the whole process again of adverse impact because they've been pre-approved.
Okay, so what you're saying is the change from the original bill has to more to do with the fact that they're pre-approved already, and that they're just now talking about how to break it down into certifications rather than its original pre-approved form.
Yes, Madam Chair. Yes, not only are they pre-approved, but they're
part of a career pathways program, which, you know, it can't happen for anything else other than a program that has been accepted as being able to be broken up into these stopping points.
Thank you. That clarifies some things for me.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Person Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've wrestled with this bill a lot, and I discovered this weekend why I'm wrestling with it. And it's the entire process of the adverse impact. And I guess for lack of a better term, as I look at this bill, it's really based on the premise that competition is bad. I love our community college. I love it enough that I've attended it off and on for absolutely over 20 years. And my husband just finished up another class. I think it's okay if we have competing entities. I really do. I think that that is okay. And it's not a one-size-fits-all. There's certainly people that will fit into a career college experience better than they will a community college, or they're not ready for a community college experience and they're over here, or vice versa. And so I will be a no on the bill, just because I think it's okay to have different programs, and I think it is okay to have that competition to create growth in both of those.
Madam Chair, if I could just respond to that, you know, with all respect to Representative Springer, you know, I too believe in competition, but under adverse impact, well, let me say that no college can prevent a private school from setting up shop and offering education, but the reverse is not true. Under adverse impact, a trade school can stop a community college from creating a new program in a high-growth, you know, cutting-edge kind of program. And I think that if you're going to have competition, it has to be competition on both sides.
I'll add Representative Huffman's next on the queue.
The reason I support the original concept of the bill is because our community colleges are tasked with being responsive to the community and being agile and quick on their feet to create programs or sub-programs to meet industry need in a quick way. And this, I think, is another tool in the tool chest to allow them to be more responsive quicker instead of sticking to a two-year welding certificate or whatever. If you've got a company out here that needs 12 people right away and you could pull out a subsection of that program and give them a one-year certificate because you've got 12 people ready to graduate with a certificate, it just, I think it really meets the mandate of community colleges.
Thank you. Representative Harker, and then Representative Harker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just going to piggyback on that, I guess, the competition at all different levels in the schools. I mean, my son was admitted to the fine university across the street and to the fine university in Eugene, and they offer some of the same programs at a very different fee structure. I was financially relieved when he decided to go to the public institution and not the private, although it was not an easy decision for me.
Representative Maurer.
No, and I totally agree with Representative Huffman's comment, but the point is that you're not on an equal competitive footing. That when you receive state funds for your operation, you are not equal in footing, and there's no the appeal process is cursory at best, and I guess I just have a problem with that. You know, I community colleges are great, and quite honestly, there's probably not too many welding schools that can compete. You know, I think that's not really the issue. It's the, I'm not quite sure what the school issues are, you know, where the cutting edge things are, but you know, in our area, quite frankly, the community colleges work with the small business and or business community to try to because they leverage each other,
mm-hmm.
which is the right way. But when the community college uses a heavy hand, and quite frankly, this gives them a tool in their toolbox to be heavy-handed if they so choose. And so, it'll pass and we'll move on, but there's at least one point of contention.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Debbie, would you please call the roll?
Representative Parker?
Aye.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative Tom?
Aye.
Representative Maurer?
No.
Representative Roblin?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Van Orman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Springer?
No.
Vice Chair Denbrough?
Aye.
Aye. Having received the required votes, the bill is passed and moves to the floor. Representative Denbrough, would you carry this bill, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. So I will close the work session on House Bill 3117. So, Kevin, if we want to talk about bills but we're not moving them today, do I have to open them?
Work session, yes.
I have to open work session? Okay. So we have two more bills left on our agenda today, House Bill 2949 and House Bill 2944, and they have things in common with one another. Can I open them both at the same time? Can I do that? So I'd like to open a work session on House Bill 2944 and House Bill 2949. We don't have the required paperwork back on either of these bills, so we will not be moving either of these bills. Something happened with each of these bills, which was interesting, though, and I wanted to address that here. And that was that when we had our public hearings for both of these bills, we had many people that came and testified in favor of the bills, and apparently there were people that had significant concerns about these bills, but they did not come to testify in opposition or to share their concerns or further information about them. And that's a problem. It's very difficult for us to have good information unless we hear from everyone what their concerns are and hear those concerns on the record so that proponents of the bill have the opportunity to respond to the concerns that are raised by the opponents of the bill. And I think this is one of the reasons why we have some bills that come back over and over and over again, because discussions happen someplace else rather than in the hearing room, and no one understands why those bills didn't move. In the case of House Bill 2944, which was a bill related to special education, and House Bill 2949, we had very good hearings with very compelling testimony that was offered by the proponents of those bills. And in both of those cases, people came to me, and I know to other committee members later, off the record, to express their concerns. Both of these bills we will continue to study in the interim. In terms of House Bill 2949, this has to do with the Oregon Opportunity Grant. I think the questions that were raised, particularly around who is the grant for, is the grant to an institution or is the grant to the student? And how do we structure that grant? How do people access it? We need to tackle that and talk about that in greater depth, along with financing of higher education and tuition structures. And I know I had a visit today from the university system requesting that we do an informational hearing either in May or in the interim about what the state's commitment to tuition should be, how the opportunity grant fits in. And so it would be fully my intention to bring all of the issues surrounding House Bill 2949 into that discussion so that we can look at that and pursue that further. Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I got to talk about this one.
I'm glad to hear the issue is not dead and that we're going to continue pursuing this, and I would wholeheartedly encourage that. I'm going to say something here that may offend some people, but we as a state have a plan. A lot of us on committees have worked on the plan for workforce development and skilling up and the 40-40-20 and getting more people diplomated and certificated and whatnot. But a lot of the actions, like not moving this bill, I think sends a different message. I know we don't have enough money in the Oregon Opportunity Grant to even do what we'd like to do without adding an aspect to it. But I think in in the state's plans and goals to get more people skilled up, I think it's imperative that we give them every tool possible to be able to do that. And quite frankly, I don't care if it's a public institution or private or whatever. Whatever is the best fit for that student, if we can help them out to meet that 40-40-20 goal, then I think we should encourage that.
Thank you. Are there further comments on House Bill 2949?
Chair, Representative Kopp. Thank you. One request that I might have, since you said that we might have a public hearing on that, and I've been informed repeatedly that a large number of the students at private institutions that we've been hearing a lot about are young, not necessarily young, but single parents. I would like to hear some of those statistics. As a prior single mom going to college with my four children, yes, I chose a public education, but I certainly don't want to be making decisions on an adverse impact to others in those ways too.
Thank you. Is there further, Representative Harker?
Thank you, Madam Chair. When I first heard about this bill, I was against it, and then I had a good deal of conversation in my office with some people who were very much closer and better informed on this issue than I was, and I came around to believing that this was an appropriate use. And I have been lobbied subsequent to the situation you described, where we heard from people after the hearing here. That did happen to me on 2944. It did not happen on 2949. Just wanted to throw that out.
Thank you, Representative Springer.
Thank you. Listening to Representative Huffman's comments, there's only one piece in there that I would even mildly disagree with. I do support 2949 because these are scholarships for students, not scholarships for schools. And the fact that we don't have enough to go around now, I agree with. But adding the schools isn't why we don't have enough to go around with. It's the number of students that really is the crux of that issue. And so the fact that we're adding one more school or 1,000 more schools or however many more schools, it's just broadening the opportunity. The money is still about the student.
Thank you. Any further comments about 2949? So that issue will come back. House Bill 2944, you'll remember, was the bill that had to do with special education process rights. I think what frustrated me most about that process was the continuing absence of the education community from that discussion, particularly given the long discussion we had about the Oregon School for the Blind. And I think that what I heard from those families and what I frequently hear from families is that as they try to address the issues and the problems with special education, and there are many, we can see it if we look at the achievement of students with disabilities in our public schools, and we can see it if we talk about the conflicts that are there, that families frequently feel that they're left alone and nobody is listening to them and the concerns that they share. And when they come to the legislature with a provocative bill and no one is in the room to listen to them, that certainly reinforces that idea that they are in this alone. Mm-hmm. We will be addressing the issue of special education in the interim. That is going to be on our work plan. There's a bill that's over in the Senate committee today. I'm not sure whether or not it will come out tonight or not, but Senate Bill 652. If it does not come out, I'm very interested in us pursuing that as our February committee bill. It's a bill that would shift the burden of proof from the family to the school district in special education disputes. I think that bill probably got closer to the aims that the proponents of 2944 had, but we will be spending some time in the interim, and I would really urge the education community to engage with us in that process, to come to the hearings, to participate in the hearings, and to be respectful of the families in the process as well. That would be very helpful. In the end, the goal of that is that all of our students deserve a fair shot at a free and appropriate public education, and we have a long way to go to improve progress for those kids, and that means that we all have to pay attention and work together to make it happen. Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one quick point. I know that 2944 here has a dash two amendments, and I just wanted to get on record, and I know you know this, we talked about this. I introduced an amendment that simply added 504s to this language, but LC found that 504s and IDEA, just there was not a fit there. But the premise is the same. And a parent's ability to advocate for their child is the same in a 504 meeting as it is in an IEP meeting. I just don't want to lose sight of that piece.
Thank you, Representative Springer. Is there further discussion on 2949? Nope. So I will close the work session on House Bill 2944 and House Bill 2949. I am pleased to inform you that our work on House bills is complete, so we do not need to meet tomorrow evening. Good job today plowing through these. We have a number of Senate bills that are on the horizon for us. We will start hearing those on Friday. We have an informational hearing on Wednesday organized by Representative Edwards and Representative Buckley. But we are coming close to the end of our work together this session. So thank you all very much, and the House Committee on Education is adjourned.